You remembered them fondly, and then they were gone. And now you want to know who, what, where, when, why. Why It Ended with Robbie E. and Matt Coon.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to hashtag Why It Ended Wednesday. It's Wednesday again, and we are fresh off this past weekend with the Icons of Wrestling convention, where me and Matt Coon were signing autographs for the first ever time together, and then an awesome House of Hardcore show following that. That night, me and Matt were together all day. We had fun meeting you guys in Philly. Last week, we had Chris Masters. Matt, what's going on, bro?
Not too much, man. Had a great time at Icons of Wrestling. You know, I went there in February with Terry Runnels. I never could have possibly imagined. It's just so weird and stupid to me, but I appreciate it that people come up and ask for pictures and autographs, and it's insanity. But I guess that's why it ended, huh?
Hey, and you know what? Even beyond that, there was a lot of people wearing Why It Ended shirts off pro wrestling tees at the convention, weren't there?
I saw a few of them, and they were glad to show them off. Of course, nobody wears it better than our friend Larry, but we had a wonderful
Larry.
Time. Larry. And so it was great to see you wrestle. I've never seen you wrestle in person before. You tagged with Tyrus against RJ City and the nicest person on the planet. I can't believe you had a match with him because he's too cool and too nice, Mr. David Arquette. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was great. And I think the fans really enjoyed it. It was different from all the other matches on the show. Of course, you know, I got pinned by David Arquette, but, you know, I mean, he is a former world champion, so it is what it is. But hey, what he is also is going to be is a potential future Wyatt Ended guest. What do you think of that?
Well, we're hoping so. You know, he's an awesome story and a great guy, but maybe not somebody we should look too far ahead to, because we still have to talk about our guest we had last week. We had Chris Masters. I read this website, PW Podcasts, which talks about their favorite podcast of the week, and they pick ours a lot, and they picked the Chris Masters interview as one of them. I thought he told a great story, and people got some answers to questions they've always had.
Yeah, in and out of WWE on two different occasions, so you know there's going to be story there, but he's got a bright future still ahead of him because he's young. He's like my age. So super fun to talk to. We encourage you to check that out if you haven't yet, and also check out our Twitter and Instagram, which are at Why It Ended. The shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Of course, our YouTube is whereitended.com. And guys that have been supporting our Patreon from day one, we appreciate it. You're helping keep the show free. So today we wanted to give a special shout out to all of our Patreon members right now, our top 10. Matt, you want to drop it?
You know, I got to say, these guys are, and anybody else who joins us on Patreon are going to get a lot of stuff. We have such, Robbie and I were sitting around, we planned so many cool things. How do we give the Patreon members the best value, the most content? And that's Patreon members like Brian Rapp, Christopher Spaulding, Devin Dowling, James, no last name, but James Donnelly as well, Jason Bassett, John Johnson, Josh Dunn, Matt Chasko, and Tony Madden. Some of these guys, I know their names because they are supporters of a lot of podcasts, but they support us at Why It Ended. Why don't you support us too? Get bonus shows, get video shows, get early shows. And also, very soon, we're going to be putting up the live show we had with Francine and Gilbert. So lots of stuff going on at Patreon. But coming up, you told me you can get a guest. I saw him with you. I don't think he likes you. Are you sure?
Matt, let me ask you something. We've been co-hosts together for what, 6, 7 months now, 8 months, right? How long?
It seems like forever.
Okay, well, do you trust me?
I don't know. There's been once or twice we've been sitting here staring at our screen saying,
This guy is one of my best friends. Listen, I don't even really have to ask him. He 1,000% at any time I call him, any time of the day, we'll do our podcast. That's why I didn't have to set it up with him. He answers my calls all the time. And I know when I say, hey, dude, let's do the podcast now, he's been wanting to do it forever. So this will work.
You didn't set it up with him?
I didn't have to. He always answers when I call. We're going to call him right now and we'll do the podcast.
Trust me. So let's say who we're talking about. We're talking about the hardcore icon, one of the greatest of all time, promoter extraordinaire, wrestler extraordinaire, one of the all-around Mr. Wrestlings in the world, Tommy Dreamer. If, I mean, okay.
When just he does our, I gave it, I text you the number. Just dial it now. Trust me. Just trust me.
Coming up, Tommy Dreamer on.
Lying on them. Well, you say it.
Why It Ended.
Hello, this is Brent, owner of PleasurePronictsUSA.com. And with the holidays coming, we have a new special offer for the wide-ended listener. Visit StopUsingYourHand.com/booty and pick up one of our top-selling products. Regularly priced, $160, for only $95. And that $95 includes free shipping. This realistic booty replica is made from soft, realistic cyber flesh and features two uniquely textured entry points for maximum pleasure. If a little booty's not going to do it for you, we still have the free stroker promotion as well. Visit StopUsingYourHand.com/promo and enter the code FISTBUMP. That's right, Robbie does the fist bump, and so can you with this free stroker. All you have to pay is $6.95 for shipping and handling. Take advantage of one of these promotions today or visit StopUsingYourHand.com and check out our other exciting products, including our flagship, the 3V Starlet Stroker. That's right. Have you ever wanted to be with a porn star? Now you can with a 3V Starlet Stroker. Have vibration. Have that voice of sexy Lauren Phillips or Sarah J or six other adult superstars send you over the top with the 3V Starlet Stroker. Come on, guys. Check your ego at the door. You know everybody does it. Why deprive yourself of satisfaction when Pleasure Products USA cares about your privacy? Your order will arrive in plain packaging, and your credit card statement will not reflect an adult product was purchased. So what are you waiting for? Visit StopUsingYourHand.com today. And remember, Pleasure Products USA, our business is your pleasure.
Hello. Why are you calling me from a restricted number?
What dude, are you doing? Because I'm calling you for my podcast number. Can you, I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please be our guest? Please.
No, I told you this a million times. I will never do your show.
Why
your
will
show
you not?
Is called Why? Because your show is called Why? What is it called? Why is it ended? Why? What happened? Why did
yeah,
I die? I'm
mean
still
you're...
alive.
Please, can you
and
just
I wrestle
do this?
All the time.
I need...
My career has not ended. Your career need... has never even started. Stop
you...
bothering me with your stupid podcast.
Dude.
Don't call me from a restricted number. That's a very Paul Heyman of you.
Dude. Did he just hang up?
Robbie, he hung up, dude. What the hell?
Did he really just hang... You know what? Here, call him again. Call him again. I guarantee... Let me just talk him into it one more time. One more time.
Okay, I'm going to... Dude,
do you got the number? Trust me. Just trust me. He's my good friend. He's just, you know, he's just try him one more time.
He's busy. All right, dude. All right. Okay.
Do you need the number again?
No, he's dialed in. I swear if this is a waste of time.
Hello. What do you want?
Answer.
Why do you have to bother me?
Because yeah, you're kidding. Please. I know you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I don't care if you have no guests.
When do I ask
call Greg
for
the
favors?
Hammer Valentine?
When do
He's
I
on
ask you for favors?
Zack Ryder. You ask for everything. Dude, can you book me? Dude, can you put me on early? Dude, can I wrestle Dave Arquette so I get on TMZ?
I didn't ask to wrestle.
I'm a reality star. Dude, can you put the word in for The Rock because I want to be picked out of 80,000
people? We will not talk about why it ended. We'll talk about why it won't end for you. Please, that is a good angle for it. Please. Matt is nice. You like him.
Hey, Tommy, how's it going?
Right. You have somebody else on the line. You didn't even tell me. You're such a dick, Robbie. Goodbye.
Did he just hang up again?
He hung up again. Hey, Robbie.
Matt, let's just trust me. Please get three strikes and we're out. Can we just try it one more time? I got an idea. Just one more time.
Are you sure you should handle this?
Just trust me. Just trust me. I know him. I got it. I got this. I know what to do here.
Fascinating listening for our fans here. Maybe try not to giggle like a girl when he picks up the phone, if that's possible.
It's the way that he answers.
Oh my God, you're like a stalking girlfriend.
Hey, okay, so if you don't do the show, I'm no-showing this week in a House of Hardcore, Wilbridge, New Jersey. And I used to teach at the school, and you need me to be there to, like, let you into the gymnasium.
You're such a carny worker. You're probably advertised in Perth Amboy High School that same day.
So will you just do this? It won't be long. Please, a lot of fans want to hear your story, and they want to hear us talk to each other.
Everybody knows my story. I have my own podcast that's dropping. That's how you guys talk, right? Is Max Moon on the phone, too, still?
Hey, Tommy, how's it going? Matt Coon here. I think we have an idea.
Max Moon.
I think we have an idea to maybe say why it will never end. Tommy Dreamer, what do you think?
That's why you are the brain to this outfit.
Well, I kind of have,
you, Matt, I told you after he hung up the second time, I said if I throw the no-show thing at him third time, three times.
I had to worry about you, Sandman, and Teddy Hart at my show last Saturday. You guys would no-show.
Okay.
You were advertised to be, wrestle in Georgia on the same day as my show. When are you going to, why don't you do like Roddy Piper did and interview yourself for why your career ended?
Can we do, did he really interview himself?
Yes. Oh, I should just hang up on you for that.
Matt, did you know that Roddy Piper interviewed himself?
He interviewed himself on Piper's Pit, the greatest wrestler of all time, and he stood up and he switched chairs. You never saw that?
Do you think?
You're too busy getting photographs of me at funerals.
That's so not true, and we're not even going there. Listen, I want this to be professional for like 30 minutes. Can you just like not look at me the way you normally do, and we ask normal questions and have a normal conversation? Is that possible?
Well, I'm on the phone, so how can I look at you, weirdo?
Okay, so you know what? To take your mind off of me for a second, Matt, can you take over and start this? And then maybe if I chime in, he'll forget about that it's me and we could have a normal conversation with him.
I think we got a winner there, Rob.
Can you admit to all your listeners that you stole Why It Ended from my Tommy Dreamer TV I did to rip up Zack Ryder when I interviewed everybody about their WWE careers when I had...
I don't even know what Tommy Dreamer TV is. Oh, those videos. Yeah, that you
were on it. Okay. There's nothing original about you. Except the original Gata.
Okay, this is going...
It's her birthday today.
Matt, can you please take over?
Well, I'll tell you what, Robbie. What I know for a fact is if you did no show, House of Hardcore would still be fantastic, as it was the other night. We are joined today by Tommy Dreamer, Why It Will Never End. And we want to maybe hit on the ECW stuff another time because Robbie told me he can get you back again in a year. Is that true?
Yeah, I think 365 days he'll agree to do this again.
So we want to talk about...
We
would love to talk to Tommy
I want
Dreamer.
Also, like, I know how you guys put up the guy's picture. I want a graphic that says... one, I refuse to do this show or Why It Never Ended. I want it scratched out and I want the graphic change for my own personal show. I'm a big star.
I think
have my own podcast. Do you even know, Robbie, that when you called me when Max Moon was on the other line, that's illegal to do. You can't do that. That's illegal to tape people when there's another person on phone. What?
I don't even know what that means. What do you mean someone's on the phone?
You called me, I'm thinking that you're calling me and there's someone else and you want to record a conversation. That's illegal. You can't do that. I work for SiriusXM.
If I want to tell you I'm doing a podcast,
because I want to prank so many wrestlers. I want to do that as a show where we just call up people and prank them and it's illegal.
That would actually be very funny. But all right, I'm not going to talk for a minute, Matt, please.
Well, we're going to talk to Tommy Dreamer, the great Tommy Dreamer, of Why It Will Never End, Why It Has Not Ended. And we're going to go through your WWF career today. And
No one wants to hear that crap. Oh, come on. Let's just talk about, let's just have a conversation. It was a conversational piece. There you go. You got to see why my WWE career ended. It didn't. I just was on the phone with them yesterday. I got three texts from them today.
On July 9th, 2001.
I can go back at any time. I work for MLW Impact, texting me every second from WWE. I have my own company. I just was on Fox. I'm working for them. MLB Network, Sirius XM.
Our fans love to hear stories, and they would love to hear about your time in the WWE.
How many people listen to this podcast?
You would probably be surprised at the numbers. Why It Ended is actually a very loved podcast. And a lot of people actually told us that at Icons of Wrestling, the convention before House of Hardcore this past Saturday.
Well, you are an entertaining person. I will put that over. And Max Matt Moon is a very entertaining person too.
So let me ask you this, Tommy, even though it has not ended for, you just talked to WB the other day, you made your debut. We all remember you made your debut with the invasion angle, July 9th, 2001, one of the greatest Raws, one of the greatest moments of all time. When did you know for a fact?
I agree.
It was awesome, right? When did you know you were going to debut that night? When did you find out?
Good question. I'll answer your question, Max Moon. WWE was talking to me that weekend. I did two shows for Dusty Rhodes for his Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. And then I flew to Buffalo to do an ECW reunion show that I was running. And I was on a Sunday, and on that flight, when I landed in Buffalo, I was told that I was going to be at Raw. And then I had to fly back down to Atlanta. And the whole time, like, we were driving, Dusty was like, you keep kayfabing me about going to WWE. I was like, dude, I know nothing. I said, JR had called me, but I haven't heard. You know, this has been going on a long time. And so I found out this Sunday before I went there. And he said, Nicole will call you. That was his secretary. And they changed my travel, and I was like, well, I'm now in Buffalo, and I have a return flight. And like, don't worry, we'll fly you from Buffalo to Buffalo to Atlanta, Atlanta to LaGuardia. And so I found out the night before, and I worked. I agree it was one of the best Raws because we shocked the world and they never saw it coming. I loved it. I remember right before we went out, Rob Van Dam was doing his quick little jumping jacks things that he does. And he goes, dude, you nervous? And I went, no. And he goes, yeah, me neither. And then I go, man, I really, really wish Louis was alive. Louis Spicoli. I go, because he'd be marking out and be like the first guy to call us. And then they were like, Kane was in the ring, like, go, go. And Rob's like, yeah, we're having a regular conversation like this. And then Rob goes, okay, let's go. And we hit the ring. And so then I worked that, and then I worked the next night. I didn't even have a contract.
It was a shocking thing, Tommy, because none of us expected to see Tommy Dreamer and RVD run into the ring and to join the WCW guys who were former ECW guys to make this great invasion. You did so with Paul Heyman in the ring, you know, making the announcements that the takeover had just been taken over. When was the last time you had seen him before that point? And what was it like seeing him again in that moment?
I probably had seen him one other time since ECW went out of business. And I really didn't see him much during the course of that day. And I had spoken to him a bunch of times, but I hadn't seen him at all. There was no, you know, I had a lot of then angst towards Paul. And so that was that. But it all worked out. My favorite part of that was two parts: when everybody sat and turned, like when we turned on the WWE guys and thought, you know, we were going to fight the WCW guys. When we turned, the entire place was just like, what are we seeing? And like, for me, it was like, we got you again. And that's what I loved about, you know, doing behind the scenes of ECW. And then, you know, for me, it was what I felt ECW should have been in the sense of we were in a WCW building, you know, down in Atlanta on a WWE show, and we just took over and everyone's chanting ECW, ECW. Like, that was me, like, man, this show could have been this way. And then my other most favorite part was my father was losing his vision, and he had surgery in his eye. He had glaucoma, and he had surgery in his eye, and he had 20/20 vision for the first time in his life for 3 weeks. And during those 3 weeks, that was when I debuted for WWE.
Wow.
And he got to see that with, you know, without glasses, without anything. He later lost his eyesight 100% in his left eye, and he was only had 10% vision or pinpoint vision in his right eye. He actually got the streptococcus virus, like strep throat, but he got it in his eye, and he lost his vision completely. And but for him to see that, and my father was the one who got me into wrestling. He supported me throughout my career. Took me to WrestleMania 1, and for me, it was one of my favorite accomplishments in my career. That wrestling at Madison Square Garden with him and my uncle in the audience, and then buying them a home was my favorite, like, three things. And four would be WrestleMania with my kids being there, leaving WWE, and WWE never hiring Robbie E was all my favorite WWE moments.
Well, dude, that's awesome.
Oh, no, wait. Well, Robbie E was a police officer. I love that.
After those 2 days, when you were there with no contract and everything went well, did you know, like, 100% that you were going to end, it was going to end up turning into something full time?
Nope. I will always credit Jim Ross as the only boss to never not lie to me. And he said, don't worry. I actually wrestled without a contract for about a month, which is a little stupid on my behalf because God forbid I got hurt or anything, but you know, there was also nothing else out there. And good question, journalist Robbie E.
Well, then also I was going to ask you, you came from ECW, which was such a different locker room than WWE. Like, did you know pretty much everyone there? Were you received well? Did anyone, like, give you new guys a hard time or anything? Or was it just because you've been around so long, you got respected right away?
You got to repay your dues wherever you go. And yes, Robbie, everybody loves me, unlike you, where everybody hates you. And everyone respects me, unlike you, because I was a hybrid, hardworking person as opposed to a glorified independent wrestler who was on TV like yourself. But good questions. Maybe you are becoming a good podcaster.
Well, dude, I was a school teacher.
You were a gym teacher.
So, Tommy, after
you
the invasion...
You told kids to do jumping jacks and threw dodgeballs at them and stared weirdly at people and
okay,
probably...
Matt, what was your question?
Well,
and probably flexed your pecs in weird gym shorts.
That's for sure. After the invasion angle, you went away for a little bit. You went to the Heartland Wrestling Association, which I guess was one of the territories that was, like, developmental for WWE. What was your role down there? I don't think they were sending you down there to work. Was it because they didn't have anything for you at the time, or?
Yeah, they wanted me to go down there and teach / I don't know. The best first day I got there, Les Thatcher turns to me. He's like, Tommy, I want you to be my booker. And I was like, what? And he's like, I want you to be my booker. You know, you did stuff in ECW. Let's, you know, do it here. And I was like, I work for WWE. I can't do that. And he was like, yeah, you can. And then Raven's like, yeah, I'll do it. And shockingly, he made himself the champion the first night. And then by the next day, he didn't want to do it and was trying to pawn off the booking responsibilities to me. And I was like, dude, that part of me is not, this is, they just sent a bunch of us down here, but they had nothing for us. I mean, if you think about it, there was two shows. Everyone's fighting for spots. They had the WCW guys, the ECW guys, and we kind of were doing nothing. That was after they killed the whole alliance angle, which should have been done more, but that's not for me. That's for them. If you want to hear a cool story that nobody knows about, we were myself, Bill DeMott, and Stevie Richards coming back from the gym this school bus is driving weirdly, and school bus goes off the road. That's way nice to laugh with a bus full of children, Robbie. School bus goes off the road, hits the curb, hits an electric pole, and flips on its side with a bunch of kids in it. And see why we can't have a serious conversation, Max Moon? Because fucking Robbie E. is sitting there laughing.
What are you laughing at, Robbie?
Two cars. He's crazy.
These are kids.
He is insane.
I'm telling you a real story. So a school bus flips over on its side with an electric pole going off. Me, Stevie, and Bill DeMott jump out of the thing. The back bus thing won't open. The driver either had a stroke or a heart attack. And with the electric thing shooting without any fail, me, Bill DeMott climbed all the way up, and we started pulling children out of this bus as the electric wires are going everywhere. And we got everybody out of the bus. We were like real life superheroes.
Was that picked up by like local news stations or anything? That's crazy.
I know the bus did. I don't know. Oh yeah, we were interviewed and we were WWE wrestlers. We're WWE because we were trying to get a push out of saving the kids. We got nothing.
I'm surprised it didn't, because that's crazy. But what you did get was
it wasn't as prevalent as now. But the better thing is, Robbie, children were saved from being on fire or electrocuted. How about
that, of course.
Screw the children, way. Tommy. How was your push, Robbie wants to know.
How was...
My push was mediocre. I drank the Undertaker's chew.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. When you left Heartland, you came back and started, which I've seen you do numerous times in real life, you've eaten a bunch of like disgusting stuff. So was that because you did that anyway? Was that your idea, crazy person? Or was that something they came up with?
I think they did it to gross out Vince, and Vince likes gross out stuff. No, I'm serious. They had heard that I did stuff like that. It was during the Jackass era, so that's why I did it. It had a little bit of a run, and that was it.
Was there anything you turned down that was too gross?
No. In life, I would never eat like pee, poop, or vomit, or puke. But besides that, back then, I would have probably done anything. I offered to cut off a finger for $1 million on every WWE pay-per-view. So I would. I still do that today, but they don't do pay-per-views.
How important?
Cut off my finger, dude. Why not?
I guess that,
I got 10 more, $10 million. Or you could do Yakuza style, a half a finger for $1 million. And so then I have almost 20 million. And I could walk around with claws for fingers.
Yakuza.
How important was it to you to be successful in WWE? You had reached, this level in ECW where you didn't even want the championship. You're very prideful, passionate about what you do. Was it important for you to be successful in WWE beyond making a living? Did you have goals of titles and being on top, or were you just happy to be there?
Oh, no, I did. WWE is a totally different animal, but I quickly learned actually on my first day that I was no longer in Kansas. And I knew I had to repay my dues, even though most of the guys, 99.9% of the guys were great. But, there was very little politics in ECW. Political game hit the moment you get there in WWE. And of course you want to succeed. And why you want to succeed is because of money. Would I love to be champion? Yeah. But it didn't happen. There was a few pushes on the table. I was supposed to do a 2-3 pay-per-view with Triple H, and that did not pan out. I was supposed to be at one point tag team champions with Rob Van Dam, and that didn't pan out. So it's not in the cards. You know why? Because wrestling is fake, and you're only as good as somebody wants you to be. So it's okay. I have no regrets on anything that I did, and that's why my career has not ended. And I will wrestle 206 shows this year. And
on Wednesdays and Mondays.
412.
On Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. But
yes, Robbie. You will know show 412 shows this year. I will wrestle 206. And on New Year's Eve, I will wrestle in California in a bar, and I will make out with the ring post and tell everyone how much I love professional wrestling.
You know, he texts me that same exact thing, Matt. True story.
I really will. Oh, I may have sex with it.
You did a Loser Leaves Town match with Raven and then ended up kind of being on Sunday Night Heat a lot. What was that situation? Did you think you were done with Raw at that point?
No. I didn't lose a Loser Leave. First of all, how much were you laughing actually looking this up, or did Max Moon look all this stuff up for you?
Don't worry about it.
Well, he's good.
Don't worry about our, don't worry about our teamwork. Don't worry about our teamwork here.
He acts like you do nothing. You go, okay, dude, just send it to me in an email, and then you just read it. I know exactly what you do. You're a teleprompter. You're a teleprompter podcast.
Will you answer the question that I created?
I did not lose a Loser Leave Raw match. Raven did, because Raven had so much heat in the locker room.
I know, that's what I meant.
I beat the shit out of Raven all over. I beat Raven all over town in WWE. I couldn't beat him in ECW. I beat him all the time in WWE.
Now, after sending him to heat, after sending Raven to heat,
because he had heat.
What's that?
Because he had heat.
What was it about Raven that got him the heat in WWE?
Have you ever met Raven?
He was really nice to my son at StarCast. That's the only interaction I've had with him.
Well, that's cool. Raven, no, back then he had a lot of heat. He would be himself, and he would also solicit info. He was at one point not allowed to talk in the WWE locker room for 2 months. He had to go to court, and if he spoke a word, the only time he was allowed to speak was when he was able to go over his matches, and if he was caught speaking, his sentence would double. So he went a month, maybe 2 months, without speaking. Pretty funny. Should be time from him, but he kind of dug his own grave.
So as a
can't wait till one day they hire Robbie and that happens.
It's happening. You know, you found yourself being used less and less on air, and eventually your performer contract expired, and you started doing a lot of stuff backstage.
Real quick, Matt, before that, at one point, Tommy didn't, because I remember you told me a story a while ago. You were turned heel before that, right? Before you took a backstage role, weren't you?
No. In the beginning of the Alliance, they wanted all the Alliance members to be heels and the WWE guys to be the baby faces. But every time I'd go out there and wrestle, they would just cheer for me.
Well, I remember you told me a story about Poughkeepsie, and that you were like the opening match. I forget who you said it was against, but you were heel and you said how it didn't work. Yes. Yeah.
And then Rosie was just like, dude, it ain't working. And I just, you know, that was in the beginning. And, you know, it was just like, hey, I got to do what I got to do. And then I got yelled at for, you know, and I was like, hey, man, I've main evented this place. And, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, hey, if you haven't done it there, it was also a different time. You know, now you look at guys who are coming from the indies to NXT, and, you know, they're keeping their status. You know, if they're heels, they're staying heels. If they're babyface, they're getting the babyface push. But again, like I said, different time, different era.
How good of a fit was it for you working, though, you know, not wrestling out in front of the camera, being behind the camera, working in talent relations and a variety of other positions with responsibility? Was that something you enjoyed doing, or did you not feel you were able to be yourself?
I don't think a lot of people realize I was 29 years old when ECW went out of business.
Wow.
And I had given my 20s to ECW, and now I'm in my 30s, and they're telling me they want me to pretty much retire and work in the office. I was not happy with that position, but my wife at the time was pregnant with our twins, and there was no wrestling going on other places. So it was either take a job or you're going to be unemployed. The cool thing about that, and I learned a lot from my time in the office, and I learned the politics. I learned a lot from Vince, and I learned a lot from John Laurinaitis. Almost how to play the game, even though I don't like it, but I did. And it actually helped me for my second, I guess, run in the company. But, I got to see two sides to every story, because jerk wrestlers like Robbie E, it's always like, oh, it's the office against me. It's always us versus them, when it's not always that case. Because no one wants to look in the mirror and say, maybe it's me. No one wants to look in the mirror and say, well, could I be champion? I should be heavyweight champion. But then you think about it, how could you be heavyweight champion when you walk out there and they chant for another company called ECW? Or how could you be champion when you wear a t-shirt and the boss likes muscular guys? Or how could you be a champion when you have swimmer's legs like Robbie E? No one wants to say those things. People just want to blame other people for their lack of a push. But that's why I did a lot of soul searching and a lot of learning. I also found out that WWE wanted me in the office from day one. And it was like, oh, this little wrestling career didn't work out. So come to the office.
What was the reason, you think? Just because you helped so much backstage with ECW and they knew that?
Because I'm a super genius, if you will, Robbie E. No, probably that. That was Dusty Rhodes' answer to me once. So I gave it to you, but you never.
Robbie doesn't have Dusty Rhodes.
I'm trying to put my socks on.
Oh, he's laying down and putting down his big gray, gray or white tube socks on.
I have to. It's called Sock Olympics. Hornswoggle named it. I can no longer, as my wrestling career, my hybrid style, I have to lay on my back and loop my socks around my big toe. If I hit it on the first one, I get a gold. If I miss, I get a second time. I try to get a silver. Then if I hit a third time, it's a bronze. So it's very, very hard to do. I can no longer put on my sneakers standing up or take them off. And I hate that, because when I go through TSA, it's a big, big issue. Anyway,
you got to get pre-checked with anything. But I mean, even though you still want to be an active wrestler, didn't you at least feel like a little bit like, I mean, that's pretty cool that they asked you to have that role. I mean, you had to be somewhat flattered, right?
No, not at all. I love wrestling. I will die wrestling, and I'll be happy. I will die with a smile on my face. And someone will pin me, or else I'll be mad in death.
I'll pin you.
No, I did not want that spot. I'm happy in hindsight, because I got to hire a lot of men and women. I got to bring in you as a police officer through your agent, Guido.
Matt, do you know that he said that, like, he wouldn't book me a lot as an extra because he claims this fake thing of that I had a bad attitude?
You had a bad attitude. You have a horrible attitude. You still have a horrible attitude and a horrible reputation on the indies. You have your children, you should look at them every day, because they have changed your life. Donald Trump, Carter, and Cash should praise them every second they're alive, because they changed your life.
I tried to tell Matt a little bit this. I think it was this past week how crazy I used to be and how different I am now. And it was hard. It's hard to, if you weren't there, you just didn't get it.
He was so insane. He could have climbed my crazy list, and I could do a whole podcast on crazy Robbie stories and Balls Mahoney stories that would last me at least 2 to 3 years.
Sure. Well, you talked a little
bit
about.
Did you tell Matt about you asking for Polaroid pics at Danny Doring's mom's funeral? Did you do that?
You brought that up earlier.
Did he really?
No, Matt.
Did he really?
Out of all the things I say, you don't have to even ask him. Out of all the things I say, that is 1,000% false. It's completely.
Were you not there?
I was not there.
Were you not there with a signature book in
the parking lot? He is making it up. He's so good at doing this, people will believe him. But
answer my question.
I was not there 100%. The only reason he thinks this in his crazy man head is because he knows we're from the same town, me and Danny Doring. So for some reason, he made this up in his head and he really believes it. But it's not true.
You had heat with Danny Doring about it.
What? No, I never had heat with Danny Doring. You're lying. That is not true.
I swear to God, Danny Doring was the one who told me that.
I have asked him, and he said, you are
went
a crazy
to school
person.
With his brother.
His brother is younger than me.
He was in your backyard Federation. Tell everybody the name of your finisher and your wrestling name when you're in the backyard.
That is true. He was in my backyard wrestling federation.
There you go.
STW, Severe Trampoline Wrestling. But I never went to his funeral with an autograph book or his funeral, period. I was never at a funeral.
It was the wake.
I wasn't at a wake either. I wasn't at anything. You're making that up.
there was a person in the parking lot.
It was
asking
me.
For pictures and autographs.
I believe that.
And he told me that it was you, and that's why he never liked you.
You guys should
wrestle on Saturday.
He never said he never liked me because I've always got
to avenge his mother. Avenge you being disrespectful for his mother.
If I even think of you dancing at a jazz club tonight or playing the trumpet on stage, Matt, would you just please continue?
I think it's possible you set up a table for t-shirts at Danny Doring's mother's funeral. I do think that.
It's not true.
He was a kid and he went to school with Danny Doring's brother.
We didn't go to school together. We didn't go to school together. We were at different schools and he's making that up. I didn't even really know his brother well.
Trampoline wrestling federation. I don't even know what that is.
Only when I booked him for my trampoline wrestling is when...
You're everything I hated about pro wrestling. Kind of are.
Well, let's talk about something we can all agree on. And that is that with your second run, starting with the two of the greatest shows in the history of professional wrestling, two of the greatest pay-per-views, the ECW One Night Stands... The first One Night Stand in 2005, on the heels of the success of the ECW DVD. What was it like? You worked very hard on that show. You were agenting the matches. You were doing stuff backstage. You wrestled on it. What was that experience like for you for that first One Night Stand?
Well, you missed one little aspect about it. I wrote the whole goddamn show, Max Moon, and agented every match. So you missed two facts.
Oh.
It was awesome. Rob Van Dam brought the idea to Vince, pitched. At the time, it was weird, not like Robbie E. weird, but really weird and awkward because of I was actually Paul's boss because they hated Paulie and he was in the developmental system. And I kind of like brought him in and he would just actually help talent with promos. And I had to actually go and pitch to have Paul on the actual show. And then Paul, I sent him the show. I had one writer's assistant. And then Paul, he added two little things. He added his promo and he added a run-in. He cut out Sausage Doring and Roadkill versus maybe Simon and Swinger. And he cut that match out because of time. And he added all that stuff to like a run-in where Kid Cash did the big dive on top of everybody. And I always say Paul and I creatively were amazing and he helped add to that show. And that's why I kept it. And, you know, Paul was playing the political games. Like if you don't like it, you can, you know, not put it in there, but it worked. And, because he saw that I was getting frustrated because we had to have I don't remember. Hang on. No, that wasn't the one where we had the WWE. That was the second one where we had the WWE guys in the balcony. Or was that the first one? I don't remember.
I think the second one was the guys in the balcony. But I'm not
sure. Right. Okay. But you don't know the second one. The first one was me and Sandman. But Vince was awesome and he's like, this is Tommy's show. Tommy's in charge of it. And it was really, really cool. And Paul added to the show. And I really thought WWE was going to see it in me as a performer, see it in me as, you know, a writer, talent. I was on the WWE writing team for about 3 to 4 weeks. I got let go from that one. This was before I went into the office because it wasn't fit for me. And so we did that, thought they were going to see the world in me. And you know what? It was actually just Monday. And then 3 months later, when we got the pay-per-view buy rates and it did that so good, I was like, man, Vince is now really going to see me. And I didn't even get like a great job email. I got nothing. So I was just like, And again, when in the world of wrestling, where everyone wants to blame other people, like how dare they blame me? It was the second largest grossing house next to WrestleMania that year. And it was the second largest pay-per-view money-wise that year. And a lot of people, like I said, will get mad and blame everybody. How come they don't book me and they book Zack Ryder? I could be a Guido. How come they had Santino Marella as an Italian? I could be it. Because I'm a Guido wrestler. I'm so over because of Jersey Shore. Why don't they use me? But no, I never said that. Because if you think about, let's talk about any sport. Robbie has no opinion on this. But if you look at the Patriots, I'm sorry, what?
Barry Sanders.
Okay, yep, he's a football player.
Lions. So
we'll use the football analogy. The Patriots lost on a amazing freak miracle play this weekend. Bill Belichick is very Tommy Dreamer-esque and stoic in his, we lost, it was a blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, and we're going to talk about, let's prepare next week for whoever they're playing. And every sport does that. You know, if you lose the World Series, how do you feel? Feel like shit. We lost to a better team. And then what it is. We're going to put together a better team next year. So I learned that too, because you can't harp on. And a lot of people do it. Like, oh, I did this and I did that. And I said, still, no, because that's called life, and you just got to keep on moving forward, and that's what I do, unlike Robbie, whose entire podcast is based upon why things ended and didn't move forward. Friggin' Robbie.
So when those two pay-per-views were awesome, they went great. Listen to me. They were so good. Do you wish that it ended
with... guests. I'm a podcaster.
Do you wish that it ended with just those two? And like the ECW show never happened. They never restarted that.
No. When the second ECW came out, pay-per-view, it thought it was good, but it wasn't as good as the first. I remember like the Balls Mahoney Masato Tanaka thing. And I was just like, are you kidding me? But we knew we were going forward. Shane McMahon and John Laurinaitis were very, very behind that. And, I want to say, for me to have perfect nirvana, I actually had it for about 2 months, possibly 3 months, where I was in charge of it all. I was going to be in charge of it creatively. I was going to be in charge of it, like kind of what I did in the original ECW. And then it slowly started morphing into WWE. More and more product. So I kind of started backing away, and then I would have to go. I was given the opportunity. Who did you want to, you're going to be a full-time wrestler, but you're still going to work in the office. Who do you want to work for? Do you want to work for John Laurinaitis, or do you want to be on creative with, and Stephanie's your boss telling you what to do about ECW. And so, of course, I'm going to stick with the person I know as a person that I don't know. Not that I don't know Stephanie, but I work for her. And also, you telling me how to run ECW, or anyone telling me how to run now House of Hardcore, would be very, very difficult for me to swallow that pill, because I have a mouth and opinion, and I don't play the political game. So that's why I didn't be a part of that. And then, as we all saw quickly, we're not in Kansas anymore. Moments happen, and it changed from the first day.
Why do you keep saying we're not in Kansas? What does that mean, Kansas?
Because that is a famous line from a movie called The Wizard of Oz. You should watch it.
I don't know if I've ever actually watched it. When the tornado hit,
oh, Jesus.
You realize we weren't in Kansas anymore, because it was a tornado took her house, and then she originally landed and she thought she was in Kansas. And
movies like that bore me, because they look so old when you watch them. So I can't like pay attention to that.
Shit.
But dude, before you get too far ahead, I want to ask, when those two pay-per-views happened,
what about Jaws? Did you see with Jaws?
I did like one or two of them when I was like really young, but now it's just, they're
how
too old,
are you?
Bro. I just turned 35.
How old are you?
I just turned 35.
Okay. You're way too old for WWE. Good. Your career never... You should do a similar podcast, Why It Never Started. How about that? And
did,
talk to all people that were never hired by WWE.
Did any guys decline to do those pay-per-views that you tried to get on? for the ECW ones?
You totally read that question.
I swear to God, Matt, did I read that
actually,
one?
Actually, Tommy, that one was his. That one was his. All Robbie. That
I'm
one.
I'm actually curious if guys didn't want to be a part of it.
A few could not be a part of it because they were under contract with Impact Wrestling.
God.
I believe Shane Douglas was not a part of one.
That's who I was thinking, Shane Douglas. He wasn't on either of them, right?
No. Well, one, he was under contract under Impact, and the second one, they didn't ask him to be a part of because he had a little bit of heat, and they were also doing hardcore homecoming stuff, and but there was a few wrestlers that were asked. The Rhino, he couldn't do it, the second one, even though we tried. Spike, Bubba, Devon, they got fired. So the second one was a lot different. But there was a few that, you know, couldn't because they were working on other places and they had contracts with other companies.
Now, with you returning to wrestling, but also working under John Laurinaitis, and you saying it was, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore, it's a totally different situation. You got to a point where they had you chasing the ECW title, which is not really a Tommy Dreamer kind of thing when we think about it. And you ended up winning the title, defeating Jack Swagger in a triple threat. Was that something, were you at the point where you just weren't even giving input into what you wanted to do? Or is that something that you wanted to do?
No, that was something I came up with the whole idea. My contract was coming up. I was not happy. And I said, hey, listen, you're not doing much with me. Those 3 years of the original ECW, the highest rated matches were me. I was involved in every one of them. Myself and Chavo Guerrero was the highest, then myself versus Mark Henry, and then myself versus, I want to say, like the Great Khali, God help me. They were the highest rated shows. And I just went to Vince and I said, you know, and the cool thing with me and Vince's relationship is he always made time for me I didn't like go to him every single week, like, oh, I got a problem. But I was like, hey, man, you're supposed to be this great businessman. Here's your numbers. And yet you're not going. I don't think that's great business. So my contract's coming up. If you want, let's do this angle. And if I don't win, I'm done and I'll just leave. And if you want me here, then I'll win and we'll see where it goes. And that's kind of how that happened. And they did not, they changed. They told me Jack Swagger was retaining all day. And I kind of knew that was BS because Johnny was talking about my contract. He's like, Vince loves you. You're going to be here. And I was like, okay, cool. And then when they told me about that, so we actually had to hide from our agent all day. And we came up with two fake finishes because if they went with it, then I'd be done. But I knew they were kind of ribbing me. And they went with me winning it. So we had two finishes going out there. And we went with the one that we kind of knew all along was going to happen.
So even on my happiest moment, I couldn't be totally happy because I had to be angry.
When did you find out exactly that you were winning? Like, at what moment did you know you were winning?
When I was going, when the second guy's music was hitting.
Really?
You think it's, yeah. That's, yeah, I understand, man. It's a double. It's, you're not in Kansas anymore, even though Robbie doesn't understand that. That stuff went on a lot.
So, from Gorilla, okay. They told you from Gorilla, by the way, you're winning.
First person went out. I don't remember who that was. And we all acted like shocked. And like, they said it right before my match. It was, Tommy's up. They acted like it was a big swerve. And I was like, okay. And as I was walking out, I like gave Johnny the finger like, duh. And he was like, just get the fuck out there. Cause you know, he's my friend.
Yep.
That happened.
As you were telling that story, I was thinking about how you used to travel with your kettlebell.
Jeez,
Did you kettlebell swings?
I had to get a workout. I had to do kettlebells, bro. You never know.
Did.
Continue.
Can you?
We had a very cool moment on this podcast that's taking forever.
Can you bring us to the night of where you wrestled Zack Ryder, where, like, if you lost, then you gave the farewell speech and everything?
Sure. I wound up. I was 3 months into my contract of a 5-year deal, and I realized I was back in the same position that I was. Was no longer happy doing something that I love. Went to Vince and said, this ain't working out. I would like to leave. He said, I don't want you to do that. And I was like, how can I stay? And I don't want to be just one of those guys who just hangs around. And he was like, okay. And actually, my last night was supposed to be the night the week before in Orlando against Lance Hoyt, Vance Archer. And then all of that, I was done. That was it. We had a nice party. You could see the pictures of that online. Everyone came out to say goodbye to me at a Fridays. There's a big picture online of like 40 of us out. And then I went home. And I want to say that Wednesday I got the phone call. And I won't say who it is. But he said, just when you think you were out, we drag you back in. I'm like, well, Vince doesn't like Matt Hardy versus Evan Bourne main event. And kind of then yelled at us for you quitting and said you didn't quit. And can you come back and leave again? And we want to do something nice for you with Zach. And I had hired Zach into WWE and I said, sure. And that's what you saw. I got to bring my girls on television. And the best part about that, when the moment I came back, first person through the curtain was Vince. And a standing ovation, and they had a nice lineup for everybody. And it was a really, really cool moment for me to be able to say goodbye. I never said I was going to retire, which a lot of people still say. I just said I would leave ECW, and I, unlike Robbie E., stick to every stipulation that I ever make. And that's it. And if ECW came back tomorrow, I would not be a part of it because I'm crazy and I stick to fake wrestling stipulations. I will never wrestle Raven again. I will never walk the aisle with Beulah again. I will never wrestle Abyss again because I use those in stipulations to help sell Matt a pay-per-view or a show. And I will not screw over wrestling fans like Robbie E. does every single night he wrestles. For them.
There was something about that night I was watching. There was something about that night that came across to the fans like it was real. Like this was going to be it for you in ECW. You've never been someone who had trouble expressing your emotions in the ring while other people, you know, like Robbie, have trouble expressing emotions in the ring. What is your secret to kind of being so real out there and being yourself like you were in that moment after the Zack Ryder match?
Because it's real. And it's also what I went through in the original ECW. I use every life experience in wrestling because everything about wrestling is 100% real. And what I put my body through, what I put my family through, what I put myself through. And I just go out there and convey that. You know, you were there. I just cut a promo at the arena on Saturday. And it's just me with a microphone expressing my feelings towards situations. And it is real. And that's me. I went to the Meadowlands to see wrestling. I remember when Roddy Piper did a Piper's Pit and they had somebody from Yonkers on there. I was like, oh, my God, I'm from Yonkers. And I've never lost also my fandom for professional wrestling. I love wrestling. I watch it every night. Robbie's not even a subscriber to the WWE Network. And if I have
Kevin Keenan's for free. I have Kevin Keenan's login for free.
There you go. hope they take it away. Are you listening to WWE Network? Take away both of their... Take away Kevin Keenan's password. Thanks.
Hey, Tommy, real quick.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Offline at 7:54. Do you have like a few minutes to talk about TNA real quick? Could you do it in like 5 minutes? I know you got to stop at 8.
I didn't even want to do this. It was, you said, come on now.
This is offline.
I have a whole, that's why, you know why this, we can talk forever? Because my career has never ended.
So do you want to stop? It keeps going,
Robbie. You can't even talk about my career ending in WWE.
This is offline, you crazy person.
Then I want everything online. I'm not a fake person like you are to answer Matt's question. Everything is real. I want nothing edited. If anything's edited, I will sue both of you on the podcast.
Do you want to go on or do you want to stop?
We will stop right here because you've aggravated me. And unless you end your little, I have a podcast. I've never listened to a podcast. So if you have a way you wrap things up, I'll do it. I don't want any of this edited. I want this all live. And because that's how it should be.
I did want to talk about the show that me and you were kind of like, you know, we were in this together. We worked and built it together. I'm kind of an executive now, I would call myself, for House of Hardcore, right?
Holy shit.
How many times have I helped you in your career? Who used to let you room with him when they weren't paying for your room? Me.
I will never
tell you my whereabouts, where I was.
I was kind of alone a lot of the times, but... So we have a show, Matt, Saturday. It's a House of Hardcore show, and it's at the high school that I used to be a school teacher at Woodbridge High School in New Jersey. And it's got me, it's got Tommy, and we might even be teaming that night for the first time.
We are tagging in the main event for the first time ever. Why? Because 2 weeks ago you lost to a child, and now you lost to an actor who's had 20 matches under his belt and it's worth $25 million, and he wants to be an independent wrestler, and he's got a body like a prisoner. He's got a prison physique
and he moves weird with all these jail tattoos.
And he's awesome, and he's the nicest person in the world.
He chops Tyrus's shoulder weird.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Of course, we have this upcoming House of Hardcore this weekend, but this past weekend, Tommy, because what we're going to do is talk about, if we have you back, ECW and Impact. But I told you this, but I'll tell everybody this. My son is 16. He's been to 5 WrestleManias. He's been to, you know, 4 SummerSlams, many takeovers. He's never done this before. After your House of Hardcore show, with all of the challenges you had, he sprung out of his seat and looked at me and said, Dad, that was a great show. What is it that makes House of Hardcore such an awesome place for people to see wrestling? Because we had an awesome time, man. What is it about House of Hardcore?
Well, I look at this as a business, and I look at this also as a sport. And I want to field the best players that I can to win me a championship every night that there's a House of Hardcore event. What you just said to me is an awesome compliment, because I want people exactly having what I've experienced. When I talk about wrestling, it's given me everything in my life, as well as when I think of the NWA coming to the Meadowlands for the first time. It was a great night for me and my father. My father wasn't sick. My father was, what I remember him is to be, as my father. And my father died of Parkinson's disease, and the last few years of his life were really, really hard. And what your son said to you, I hope him and you can share that in another 50 years from now. And that's what I go out there and do it for. I do it for stuff like that. And the formula is hard work, and I want to give people the most bang for their buck. And you, seriously, I couldn't have asked for any other thing for you to say. And it, I make more money at times being Tommy Dreamer, wrestling some 7 days a week. But, you know, this show, I actually made a nice little bit of money. But there's other times. I remember one time I ran in Cleveland where because I always say, if I lose money on a show, I'm not going to do anymore. But there was a time in Cleveland, because we ran against the Indians versus the Blue Jays in the championship game. And I went out there and was selling my pitchers to make sure that I made some money, because I didn't want this to end. I just want to show people a different and a variation of my vision of professional wrestling. And I'm happy I've accomplished that for you and your son and for a lot of people, because a lot of people have told me the same thing. I know it's a cliche, but they always, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan's like, these shows just keep getting better, better and better. How are you going to top it? Or this is the best WrestleMania of all time. And I kind of keep on topping it through a ton of adversity. So I fielded a great team. I hate the fact that Robbie E was on my team, but you know what? He scored a touchdown, even though he lost to an actor.
Well, if you want to check out House of Hardcore, make sure to check him out online or go see a show. Tommy has a great new podcast. It's called The Hardcore Pod. Check it out. It is Tommy. Tommy's got a million stories. And unlike a lot of wrestlers, he has a great memory. And so he tells you all the stories you've ever wanted to know on it. Robbie, what else can you say about your good friend, Tommy Dreamer?
Well, thanks for doing this. I'm surprised you're doing this. It only took two times, you know, well, actually three times because you hung up twice. So the third time we got you. But I mean,
you ask me every time I see you to do your stupid podcast.
I can't wait to give the follow up next week to our wide-ended fans about how it was for teaming with you for the first time. I mean, I think this is going to be great.
I will do your podcast 1 year from now. How about that? Every year, right. I'll do your podcast.
All right, we'll talk about.
And I'll still be wrestling, and you will be retired because you took a weird hip toss from somebody.
What is our tag team name?
God help me. How about that?
Bless the fans.
I'm so desperate. I used Robbie to try to help get him over. How about that?
Woodbridge, New Jersey, guys, for real. This Saturday, it's a great fundraiser for the athletics department. And it's not only us. It's Danny Doring. It's Crowbar. It's Karen Q. It's myself, Dreamer. It's going to be a good card. So you guys, if you're in the Northeast area, check it out. It's worth the drive.
A lot of people actually went to Woodbridge High School that became professional wrestlers, and using a lot of local talent that day just because to try to, you know, give back to the community. And that's what wrestling's about. I attach a lot of charities to a lot of my events, and I always say wrestling's the greatest form of entertainment out there. And that's it. I can heal Robbie big time, but I won't. So thank you all for listening to one of my stories and why it will never end forever, like Terry Funk. Forever.
I went to a show at Woodbridge High School when I was 7, and the main event had Sunny Beach in it.
Ooh, sweet. You know why I have such a great memory, Matt?
Why is that?
Because I love wrestling and I never did drugs.
Wow, but there
you go. On that note,
thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
The coca bean. Goodbye.
Bye.
So, Robbie, I usually laugh before we start, but I just feel bad for you for how mean Tommy Dreamer is to you.
Well, come on. He was just playing. He don't mean any of that stuff.
He really likes you, huh?
I mean, God, I hope. He's been doing it for so long, he's got it, right? I mean, what did you think? I mean, he can't really think my legs look like swimmer legs, do they?
Maybe like
Al Snow made that up.
A girl's swimmer's legs. But, you know, like a strong Olympic style female swimmer.
Exactly.
I think it's good. So Tommy's story, I wanted to kind of keep it small because there's so much to talk about and didn't want to keep him too long because he hates you. And he called me Max Moon, which I guess is good. But, you know, the story of him in WWF is one I don't think that's been told that many times. So I think it was a great story, and I think we learned a lot of things that we hadn't heard before.
Yeah, plus we always get that, like, first-ever-time thing, and he never told the story about saving the children on the bus. It's a breaking news for why it ended, changing lives.
And also, you know, just getting pushed backstage, getting brought back, the fact that he left because he just wasn't feeling it. So many great stories coming straight out of this episode of Why It Ended. And, of course, I think he's going to turn on you in your tag match, like 99%.
Nah, he won't do that in front. Backstage, he will, but not in front of like little kids and stuff. He'll pretend.
So it's true what I said. My son is someone who's gone to a lot of wrestling. He's met, you know, a lot of wrestlers. He knows the deal. You know, he's turned to me before like, gosh, this show, I just want to go home. And he literally said, that's a great show. And House of Hardcore always aims to please. And when you got a guy running it and putting his ass on the line the way Tommy Dreamer does, it's something that I have no problem supporting and go out of my way to go to. And so should the people at home. Right, Robbie?
Yeah, totally. House of Hardcore is right now one of the hottest things going on. I mean, across the country and outside of the country, worldwide. He wrestles in and out of the U.S. And like you said, he tries to put into every show everything, keep making the shows better and better and better, which they have been. So, you know, just like this Saturday, Woodbridge, New Jersey, we encourage you to be there. I encourage you to be at all the House of Hardcore shows because you know that you're seeing something with someone who actually cares. With someone who thinks of the fans and they want to give you the absolute best wrestling show possible.
Just like we want to give you the best possible wrestling podcast, we know there's a lot of interview shows out there. And when we started out, we knew we were against the swarm, and we have made ourselves what I think one of the elite wrestling podcasts because we work hard, we care about what you think, and we want to put out the best product we can at Wyatt Ended on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure to check out our YouTube page, Pro Wrestling Tees, and of course, go ahead and give our Patreon site a little love over there so that we can keep doing this. Robbie, I got nothing else for you, dude. What else you got? Anything? You good?
No, that's it. Thank you guys again. We appreciate the love, and we will see you. Well, actually, we won't see you, but you will hear us next week.
On.
You're weird. Bye.
Why it ended.